Before I start, I want to pray for the moms, and I just want to tell all you mothers that you are amazing. And when we're little, we don't realize how amazing our moms are until we get older and become parents. And when I saw my wife go through three labors, 12 hours for the first one, 24 hours for the second one, and 49 hours for the third one, I realized that my wife was tougher than I was, because there's no way I could have done that. I would have divorced me and beat the doctor up. But my wife is a great mom. She's sitting right over here. She's an amazing mom. I have great kids because of my mom. And, you know, so many people come to me and say, where's your wife? My wife does not want to be seen or known. She just wants to take care of her family. And I appreciate her for that, supporting me. And I've had many people come ask me, does my wife even go to church here? Which was kind of, I get asked all kind of things. So, she's done a great job, is doing a great job, and I have great kids because of her. But I want to pray for all of you, because y'all are amazing. And to be a mother, men cannot be mothers. You've never seen a man have a baby. And you know, when God gave the woman of the ability to have a baby, he also gave her the ability to take care of that baby. And those qualities are unique to women. Not that men can't do it, but whenever my wife goes out of the house for more than 3 hours, which is not that often, but my kids always say, Mom, we're going to die. I just can't do it. And so she comes back, usually in 20 minutes. But we want to pray for you and pray that God give you an amazing, amazing blessing for all the things you do. Amen? Lord, we thank you for mothers. We thank you for the incredible patience you have given them, that they think of everything, extra sweater, making sure kids have food in their stomach, vitamins in their stomachs. They think of the weather, eating patterns, sleep patterns, every little thing they think of their children, and their children don't even realize it until they grow up and have children. I thank you for my mom that had 5 kids in 6 years. And there were about 3 or 4 of us in diapers at one time, and yet she never complained, took care of all of us. I thank you for that, for all 5 of us being in the bathtub at the same time. Oh, that was fun. And Lord, I thank you for all the amazing patience that moms have, and the love and the forgiveness, the ability to overlook wrong and continue on to pray for us, as, even though we're hard-headed for 20, 30, 40 years. And Lord, I pray that today everyone would make sure they talk to their mother and tell them how much they appreciate their mother. And that for those who are mistreating their moms and taking advantage of their mom's love, that they would stop and begin to repay her for all she has done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give the moms one more hand. And as you know, you'll get roses when you leave. Be careful with the thorns, and enjoy them. Now, in honor of mothers, we are not going to say word. We are going to say word. So let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens. Pens. And let's see your notebooks. Notebooks. Very good. Bulletin. Please turn to John chapter 9. You can't see my face. Is that something you really, really want to do? Okay. You're welcome. You want me to remove this too? Okay. I think the roses are a lot prettier than my face. Thank you very much. John chapter 9. Get your bulletin, your lesson plan out, please, your pen, your Bible. We are in week 3 of a series on evangelism. We've been challenging you to pray for 3 people that you are going to pray for to be saved and be used by God to get them saved. So before we start, I would like you just to take a minute at the very top of your lesson plan. just to write the names of the three people you are praying for. And if some of you don't have three people you're praying for, let's think about it now. Neighbor, teacher, co-worker, student, fellow student. One of the three should be a family member. I would encourage you to have it a family member. But write the three names of the people. We want to keep these three people on the forefront of your heart and your mind, because you want to be ready when God prepares them for salvation. You're going to have a divine appointment, and you want to be ready and waiting for it. So just write the three names of people that you say, I want these three people to become Christians, and I'm willing for God to use me to get them saved. Now, we did a survey a few weeks ago to help you understand what kind of evangelist you are. In other words, when we think of doing evangelism, we think that that's the job of an evangelist. But all of us have the responsibility of sharing the gospel. But not necessarily like I do from up here, where it's preaching or confrontational. One style is confrontational. Another style is intellectual. Another style is invitational, where you invite people. But one of the styles is testimonial, where you share your testimony. This is something that everybody should be able to do. You should be able to share your story, or how you met Christ and how he changed your life, in a minute. I could share it in 5, 10 seconds. I used to get high. Christ came into my life, and I don't get high anymore. Very simple. And you should be able to share your story and the gospel very briefly in the line at the grocery store, on the phone, when one of your friends is crying, just like this, just like that. And in the story we're going to look at today, it's about a guy who was blind. Since birth, he had never seen ever in his life. He encounters Jesus. Jesus spits on the ground, makes mud with his spit, puts the mud in his eyes, and tells him to go wash his face in the pool. Now imagine, you're blind. You can't see. You can only hear. And you hear the Lord going, you need to read the Bible for all it's worth, okay? And then you feel this mushy stuff in your face, and he says, go wash your face in the pool. And you say, I'm going to wash my face. I'm going to come back and find you for spitting in my eye. Well, this guy experiences this. He goes and washes his face, and he receives his sight. Never seen in his life. But then the religious start to, you know, ask him what happened. And who is this that healed you? And he's a sinner, because they don't want people to believe in Christ. But yet Christ did something that no one else did. And the guy's testimony is this simply. I don't know if he's a sinner, Jesus. All I know, I was blind, now I see. I don't know if he's a prophet. I don't know if he's a sinner. All I know is I was blind, he spit in my eye, now I can see. You need to be able to tell somebody that quick. You know what? I was blind. Boom, 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 boom. Not a long, people don't want to hear 9 million hours of your sin. But you know what? I used to do this. I was miserable. I was empty. Didn't know what my life was about. I met Jesus. He forgave me, and now I can see. Simple. You should be, every single one of you should be able to tell that story. Whenever you meet a celebrity, if any of you have ever met a celebrity, you tell everybody, don't you? And I'm talking about, the story goes from 5 minutes to next thing you know, they were over your house. Then they spent the week at your house, and then you ate dinner with them. All a lie, by the way, because all they really did was drive by in a car and wave at you. But you met them. They smiled. You remember everything they said. You remember every facial expression they had, every reaction to everything you said. We're talking about telling people about when you met the Savior of the world. So very briefly, we're going to look at this. Now, let's do some review. Let's look in your bulletin. Review. First, Romans 1:16. Let's repeat that together. This is something we need to be memorizing. Romans 1:16 is right on your lesson plan. It says, on three, 1, 2, 3, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Very good. Let's review the ABCs of salvation right there. The ABCs, get ready to write in the blank. You're going to tell me the answer. Admit that you are a... Right, right in that sinner. You need to get people to admit that they're a sinner. That's the bottom line when they get saved. They have to admit that they're a sinner. The B in the ABCs of salvation, believe that Jesus is Lord, God, Savior, Exactly. Believe that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is not just a prophet, teacher, role model, religious leader. He is the Savior, the Lord, God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. C, confess your sins, S-I-N-S, sins, and repent, R-E-P-E-N-T, I think. ABC, simply, I admit that I'm a sinner, I believe Jesus is Lord, I confess my sins. You have to understand, when people get to the point where they're going to get saved, they need to pray those things. Let's review the big three, or your pass to heaven. P-A-S, right there in your lesson plan. P stands for problem, and what's the problem? My sin. The problem with people and their salvation is their sin. Your sin, my sin, the sin. The answer is Jesus. Can I get some Jesus? Now, in the evening services where we have more youth, young people, when I come to the podium, it's at 7 o'clock service. They start yelling, Jesus. It's like a little pep rally. So we had one infiltrator in the 8:30 service, and all the people were like, oh, who's that yelling in church? So we got some infiltrators here. So I want to know if maybe we can convert the 10:30 service to kind of loosen on up. So when you hear one person say, Jesus, not Jesus. Jesus, then you got to yell. Okay, it's got to be spontaneous. Okay, so can I get one person to lead it off? Jesus! Okay, there we go, there we go, there we go. Y'all going to get me all jacked up now. Okay, the answer is? That's right. When you are sharing with somebody, remember we talked about witnessing to people? And when you witness to people, what do? You ask them questions. You don't shove it down their throat. You ask them questions. What do you think about the problem, sin? What do you think about the answer? You don't tell them the answer. What do you think about God, Jesus? And then S, in the path to heaven, is the solution. Surrender. Self-denial. Surrender. Think you can let God have your life? I had a guy in my house the other day, the cable guy. People come to my house, I kind of laugh inside because I know what I'm going to do. And they come and they have the little clipboard, Mr. McPherson, Miles McPherson, we're here to, I'm like, okay, come on in, do your work, blah, 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 walk around the house, do your work, and you write my bill up, get ready to leave. Now's my time to pounce. But I didn't pounce on him. What I asked him was, do you go to church? Remember last week we talked about casually having conversations with people? If you weren't here, you need to get the tape, because we were talking about how to witness to people. And when you witness to people, you do not attack them with the Bible truth. You ask them what they believe about the P, the problem, sin. A, Jesus and the God, religion. What's their views about religion? And S, salute the solution. If they're going to get saved, they have to be able to admit that they're a sinner, which is the P. They have to confess Jesus is Lord, and they have to surrender. If they don't get saved, one of those three things they're not going to agree with. That's what the bottom line is. If you weren't here, please get the tape, because I can't go through the whole sermon now. But what I asked this guy, I went right for the A. I said, do you go to church? And he started talking about when he was a kid, wherever his family moved, they would go to the church of their neighbor. They went to the Mormon church, then they moved over here, they went to the Catholic church, they moved over here and went to the Lutheran church. He said, I'm done with church. They're all crooked, they're all this, that. And I'm thinking, okay, now I know where he's coming from. All he wants is money. Now I know where he's coming from. So I said, listen, I want to invite you to my church. Okay? I'm a pastor, blah, 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 blah. Explained it to him, gave him time. He said, all right. I said, look, I want you to come. And we walked out into the garage, and then I started telling him, look, all those experiences may be true. I said, and maybe some of them have bad raps, but let me tell you something. That doesn't change who God is. And God has a plan for your life. Hopefully you'll come. Maybe you'll see me. My point is that you ask questions, and then you give a little encouragement, a little word, and that's how you witness to people. But eventually, they're going to have to surrender. Eventually, but not the first time. And not when you have them in the corner of the room. Okay? Okay, now in this story, I told you guys before, this story, this guy is blind, he encounters Jesus, and he tells a story. What I'm going to encourage you and teach you today is just how you can share your three-part testimony, your testimony in three parts. Your testimony can be very three simple stories. Your story of your experience with the P, your problem. Your story about your experience with the A, Jesus. And your story about your experience with surrender. Very simple. Let's look at the lesson plan. At the bottom. Sharing your testimony. Number one, it says, tell a P story that describes your experience with the problem. Problem stands for P. Which is your blindness. Which is your blindness. Look at John chapter 9, verse 1. It says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. How long has he been blind? Since birth. You've been a sinner since you've been born. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Look at verse 8. The Bible says in verse 8, therefore his neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is this not he who sat and begged? Look at verse 20. His parents answered and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. There's no question he was born blind. There's no question he could never see. Are you in touch with your blindness? In other words, do you remember what you were like before you were saved?
Well, I wasn't all that bad. You know, I was really a nice guy. I just needed Jesus to complete the circle. You know, I probably wouldn't have gone to hell anyway, but, you know, I just figured I'd get saved. No.
You were a sinner. S-I-N-A, a sinner. We were talking about this with my kids last night, and my daughter said, Daddy, I don't remember before I was saved because I don't really have a testimony of that part because I got saved in kindergarten. We were sitting in a circle, and I remember in kindergarten praying, accept the Lord. I said, let me tell you how much of a sinner you were before that day. No, you were a sinner. Now, you might have been cute, and you might have been 4 or 5 years old, but you were a sinner. You know what the Bible says here? His parents say, oh, no. Ever since he was born, he was blind. Matter of fact, the neighbors said he used to sit and beg. Remember how he used to sit and beg? Beg for love with sex, beg for power with money. Beg for attention by talking loud. You beg for friends by just being whatever, trying to force your personality on people. Lying, cheating, stealing. You were begging for purpose, for happiness. You don't remember that, do you? You need to remember. You need to remember. Because you need to know how far you have come. I was at a doctor's office the other day with my daughter. She's having some problems. And I love talking to people. And especially I love talking to doctors because I am a wannabe doctor. I was on a plane with a guy. I had heard about this vascular surgeon. The man's 70-something years old. He's about that tall. And I had heard about him because I was going to have surgery. And I never met him, but he ended up sitting on the plane next to me. And so we talked for 3-4 hours. We flew all the way to D.C. because I wanted to know about vascular surgery. And I said to him, could I come to work with you one day? And all I want to do is wear one of those white coats. And he said, yeah, come on, well, you can wear my coat. I don't know, it wouldn't have fit because he's only that tall. But so when I go to doctors or engineers, anybody, it doesn't matter what you do. You can be busting concrete. I want to talk to you and learn. So the doctor comes in, and he's checking my daughter's shoulder out. And then after he does his thing, I start asking him questions because I want to help him diagnose the problem. So I say to him, is there any way it could be rotator cuff? And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, he says, what? Come on. He was like that. He was like the people skills at this point in his life, it wasn't that good. And I said, the rotator cuff could be hurt. He says, like, what kind of hurt? And I go, well, it could be, and he just kept doing like this, like, hurry up, man, I don't have time. I don't really have time. Can you just say what you got to say? Because, like that. So he left. And I looked at my wife. I said, that guy, he didn't want to talk to me, huh? He's kind of rude, huh?
My wife says, you do that. So I said, I used to do that. No, you do that.
Are you in touch with your sin? Are you in touch with your sin? Do you know how much you irritate people? Do you know how impatient you are? Do you know how much little faith you have? How much gossip comes out of your mouth daily? Do you know? Do you remember how lost you were? How much of a jerk you were? Idiot? The reason you have to know this is because we don't. We don't. We think we weren't that bad. We were gone. There's a movie called Night of the Living Dead. People got up from the grave. Or if you got hit by a car, you just get up one leg and just walk around. Like the Thriller video. Remember Thriller? You remember that? Night of the Living Dead. People get killed and they wake up and they find people who are alive and eat them. That's how you are before you receive Christ. The Bible says you are spiritually dead in your transgressions and sins. Oh, you may look good. You may have a nice car, a nice house, but you're spiritually dead. You can't hear God. You can't. You can pray. You're not spiritually responsive to God. The Word is dead to you. God wants to make you alive. You have to be able to remember that and go, you know what? When I was blind, I used to get high. I used to steal, lie, worry. That's simple. But then I met Jesus. That's the A. Turn your bulletin over. First you tell a P story about your problem and your encounter with the problem. Then you tell an A story that describes your experience with the answer. And I'm not talking about Allen Iverson. Jesus. Allen Iverson's called the answer, in case you didn't know that. The Philadelphia Sixers had a problem. They kept losing. He was the answer, just in case you didn't know that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the answer, comma, Jesus. He's the answer. Oh, 10:30, okay. Look at y'all. Spontaneous. I like that. Look what it says in verse 4. Verse 1, chapter 9. It says, as Jesus passed by, he saw the man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Look what Jesus says. Neither this man nor his parents, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when I cannot work any longer. Whenever I travel, it was more prevalent years ago when I traveled more. I would go to a town to speak at a conference or whatever, schools, and then I would set up an appointment to go to a local prison or juvenile hall. In Matthew 25, Jesus says, when I was in prison, you came to me. So I like try to do that. So when I was in Northern California once, I went to a prison called Pelican Bay. Now, I didn't know anything about Pelican Bay. And I happened to learn a lot more about it 2 nights ago. Because I was watching a show, it was an hour show from midnight to 1, on Pelican Bay and how it's the most dangerous prison in the country. And how they take the most violent prisoners from California and put them in this prison. They just went a whole hour. It was unbelievably fascinating. And when I went there, I didn't know any of this. I just knew it was the highest security prison, but that's all I knew. And I went in and walked in the yard. I just said, I want to go in. I met the chaplain when I was there. He hooked it up. I went in by myself, walked into the chapel and did a little chapel for the guys that came out. You know, maybe 30, 40 guys. But I had to walk through the yard. And I'm talking to guys in the yard. And as I'm walking in, I'm seeing these prison guards with body armor, not bulletproof vests, body armor, walking out, walking around. And I'm thinking, why do you have that on? I asked one. He says, oh, this is the most dangerous. These are the most hardened criminals, dangerous criminals in California. They can shoot stuff right through your bulletproof vest, da-da-da-da, and we would have to wear body armor. And he says, have a nice day. So, you know, I didn't think anything of it. You know, I knew God wanted me to go. Nothing was going to happen to me. So I just went in there. I remember walking in, and I'm in the yard. I guess I had an escort, but it wasn't like a big, it was just me and one other guy, the chaplain. And I'm talking to guys. They're in cages. Some of the guys did their yard time in a cage outside, bolted to the wall. So last night, I'm watching this video, this show on CNN, 1 hour. I had watched one the hour before in another prison. And as soon as it was going off, this one came on and said, Pelican Bay. I said, oh, man, I was there. Come to find out, this is like hell. Literally. It was horrifying. And I'm thinking, I was there. When I'm watching this show, I'm looking at these guys who, many of which will never get out ever in their life. Triple life, double life, and plus 80 years. That means they bury you in there. Doesn't really mean that, but, you know, how do you give a guy life? Life, and then 80 more years. I'm looking at these guys. Some of them are crazy, but some of them are very intelligent guys. And you know what he said about this blind man? He says, you know what? I don't want to talk to you about why he's blind. Jesus says, but what I'm going to tell you is that I can be glorified through his blindness. God sees you for what he wants you to be. He sees you for what you can be. And when I look at a show like that, I see these guys for what God can do in them, what he wants to do in them. Intelligent dudes. One dude's in there telling, you know, I'm never going to get out, da, 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 talking like I'm talking to you now. He is in for life, will never get out ever again. He says, I don't want to talk about people that are going to talk about the outside because I'm not going there. I only want to talk about what's going on here. Sad, sad, but God still offers hope to those people. You, when you were a sinner, when you were blind, you know what God said? I am going to be glorified in that person's life if they let me. God wants to transform your life and use you in an amazing way, ways you can never imagine. Ways you can never imagine. People I used to get high with come to this church. People I used to get high with right down the street using cocaine come to this church. And we look at each other all the time and go, remember? They go, oh, man, we were jacked up, huh? Yeah, we were jacked up. But praise God, we're not jacked up anymore. And God, this is what your testimony is, that, listen, I was a sinner because of this, 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 and then I met Jesus who said to me, look in your lesson plan, look what it says, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts I have for you, thoughts not of evil, not to hurt you, but to give you a future and a hope. That's what God thinks towards you. He looks at you and says, you know what? I want to give you a future and a hope. I want to forgive you. You have to understand that God had that view towards you when you met him. And that he wanted to do something amazing in your life. And when you met the Jesus that transformed you. Now, you might have heard about him years before that. And you might have cursed his name. And you might have said his name in vain and turned your back on him. But there came a time when you were right at the end of your sin, the end of your rope, and you met Jesus, and he says, I love you. I want to bless you. That's all he said. He didn't say, I want to condemn you. He didn't say, I want to make you pay for your sin. He says, you know what? I'm going to be glorified in your life. You got to believe that. I write in a prayer journal every day. And one of the things I write every day, I ask for wisdom every day. You ever want to pray for me? Pray for me to have wisdom. But I also pray, God, please use me. Please use me. You can ask God, God, what's your plan? Look what he said in verse 3. Neither this man nor his parents, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. He wants his works revealed in you, through you. That's your you may not even realize that when you got saved, but you know what? You will be able to tell God, God loved me. And you know what I realized? That Jesus died according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That Jesus forgave me. Boom. That's your testimony. That's the middle part. And the third part, look in your lesson plan. Third part, tell an S story that describes your experience with the solution. You're surrendering to God's will. You're surrendering to God's will. I was driving here today, the speed limit, plus 1 mile an hour. Lady goes by me doing about 15 miles an hour faster than me, give or take. Right behind her, the policeman. She didn't have to get out of the car to do this, but her pulling over, she was doing this. I give up. Not going to fight. Not going to run. Not going to argue. I give up. You remember when you gave up? You remember why you gave up? Remember what you felt like when you gave up? Hopeless, helpless, end of your rope? You remember that? You need to tell people that. You need to maybe think about it. Some of y'all, maybe you didn't do this. Maybe you did this. Maybe you did this. Maybe you did this. You need to do this. You need to tell people, you know what? I was blind. I used to do this, 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 worry about this, this, this. I used to drink this, this, smoke this, this, snort this, this, hang out with this, watch this, read this. And then I met Jesus, who told me he loved me, was willing to forget all that. And you know what I did? I gave up. I did what he told me to do. Look what the Bible says. Verse 7 says, he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. You know what God said? Hey, put in your eyes, man. Go wash in the pool. The guy didn't go, oh, why are you putting stuff in my eye, man? Why you do that? I don't understand. You know what he did? He did it. Go wash in the pool. Okay. Look in your lesson plan. Write this down. Explain how you responded to Jesus by faith and surrendered. I was at church, and I was challenged to ask Jesus to be my Savior, and I did. Write that down. Explain how you surrendered, responded to Jesus by faith and obeyed. You did what God told you to do. Next one. Explain the benefits of your faith-based obedience, your new life, and sight. I don't do that anymore. I understand this. I'm learning this. I'm being enlightened about this. Explain how you now can understand how bad off you were, what Jesus has done for you, what he's going to do in your life, the gifts he's given you, the plan for your life he's given you, how he's taught you how to love, forgive, be patient. All this stuff God has done for you. Bam, bam, bam. I want to know because you know what? I'm searching. Tell me a story about how God has changed you. Look what the Bible says in verse 19. Look at verse 19, John chapter 9. It says, they asked him, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? The Pharisees and the religious did not want Jesus to get credit. His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. Let me tell you something. You guys say, let's go take my friends to the church that Miles preached to them. That's fine. But you know, you can speak for yourself. You can speak for yourself. This is how I got. This is what he's going to talk about. Because this is what I experienced. No one can deny what you experienced. No one can deny that you used to be blind. Now you see. They can't. No one can deny that. Just look what it says. In verse 22, his parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews agreed that if anyone confessed that he was the Christ, he'd be put out of the synagogue. Verse 23, therefore his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man, Jesus, is a sinner. Some people just don't want to give it up. The brother walks on water. Well, I could do that. The brother raised dead people. Well, they were just sleeping. He was a blind, the deaf, the mute, paralyzed, the cripple. Woman had a blood, issue of blood, 12 years.
When a woman had her issue of blood, they would send her out of town for 7 days till she stopped bleeding because she was religiously unclean. This woman bled for 12 years. The Bible says she spent all her money trying to get help. She got worse. Matthew 5 is the story. She came behind Jesus. He touched his clothes. He didn't even look at her. Didn't pray for her. She just touched his clothes. She was healed. That's a bad brother right there. She just touched his clothes. That's right. He's just walking by, just brushing up on people. What? Healed. What? Healed. Well, it was just a coincidence. She was going to get healed anyway. She just happened to be next to him. Look what the brother says in verse 25. He answered. When they said, we know this man's a sinner, the blind man said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't care. And I don't know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. That's it. My life was jacked up. I met this man named Jesus. And now my life is on track. That's all I know. Now, you know what? If you want to get saved, that's up to you. If you want to come to church, that's up to you. If you got to think about, all I can tell you is what he did for me. I used to feel just like you did. I used to think just like you did. I had a life just like you. And God is going to send you people into your life that can relate to your life. And when you start talking about your interaction with the problem, when you start talking about your realization of your problem and how you were lost and how that lostness manifested itself in your feelings and your actions, and they start saying, man, I feel the same way. I felt the same way. I thought the same things. And then you met this Jesus. And when first you heard about him, you thought he was this. But then you realize who he really was. And you surrendered to him. And he opened up your eyes. You were like, man, someone's going to listen to that story. In Vons, buying chicken. And they're going to say, someone told me this yesterday. I was thinking about going to church. I've been praying. Just like that. There is no sermon. You're just telling your story. You should be able to do this like that. My challenge to you this week, practice with your family and friends. Just practice. And have your family and friends ask you questions. Well, what does that mean? And how did you know? And just see how much you know about your problem. See how much you know about your Savior. See how much you know about when you surrendered, if you really totally surrendered, or if you just play games with God. Some of y'all right now need to surrender. You need to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. My problem is eternal. And I believe that the eternal one, Jesus, died for me, paid the price for me. I want to surrender today, Mother's Day 2002. Jesus, I want you to forgive me of my sin, come live in my heart, and be my Savior. Today, you need to do that in about a minute. Because you know what the Bible says? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the penalty of sin is death. That's a big problem. You know what? That's a big problem. You will die and stand before God, and there is no arguing. God does not negotiate. But Jesus came, paid the price for your sin. He provided a way for you. The only way it's going to be provided. And you have an opportunity to ask him to forgive you. And when he looks at you today, you know, he knows all your problems. He knows your pain. He knows your emptiness. And he says, I want to be glorified in your life. I want to be glorified in your life. I was standing out here one day, and this young lady I knew in college, I haven't seen her in college for over 20-something years. She was walking out and said, I went to college with you. I was like, and her eyes were like this big because she knew me when. And it's like God is glorified. God wants to do something in your life where people go, what? They're doing what? They know what? Now, not that you got to have a ministry, but your life is just so radically different. You are so radically different. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you
for forgiveness. We thank you that you forgive us, that you love us. We thank you that you are so patient with us. We thank you that you have a plan for every one of our lives that will glorify you in the end. Lord, I pray that all of us would allow you to implement your plan in our life. And I pray this week we would practice sharing our story to our family and friends, neighbors. But Lord, there are people here today who need to surrender. They need to acknowledge that they have a problem, their sin. They need to acknowledge that the only answer to that problem is Jesus. They need to admit that Jesus was born of a virgin, that he died according to the scriptures, he was buried, and rose the third day according to the scriptures. And that if they confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in their heart that God raised them from the dead, they'd be saved. But they need to surrender to those truths and receive the free gift of salvation. So if that represents you today and you know that you are a sinner, you know your sin needs to be forgiven today, in the privacy of your heart, pray by faith this prayer. Pray, dear God, I'm a sinner. My sin has a penalty. And it is death. But I believe that Jesus is Lord, that he died and rose from the dead, and that he loves me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me. Come live in my heart. Cleanse me of my sin. I surrender. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand up and acknowledge your forgiveness and acknowledge your new life and give testimony just by standing, not by saying anything, but by standing you are giving testimony that a man named Jesus touched my life. So if you prayed that prayer to ask Jesus to be your Savior right now, just stand to your feet and acknowledge that. We can encourage you. God bless you. Stay standing, please. God bless you. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. Stay standing. God bless you. If God has spoken to you and you have spoken back to him, you want him to forgive you of your sins, just stand to your feet right now. Anybody else? Very good. Very good. If you're a mother here today, yes, you too need to repent. You too have sinned. God wants to forgive you and give you even more strength, more patience. Give your life to Jesus. Anybody else? Stand to your feet and acknowledge Christ as your Savior here this morning. Anybody else? Now we're going to ask all you people who are standing to do one more thing. As we welcome you to the family of God, I'm going to ask you to step out of your seat, come down here and shake my hand. Let's give them a Jesus clap. Jesus! Come on now. Amen. 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 God bless you. Stay right there, okay? Stay right there. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. Very good. God, stay right here. Stay right here. God bless you. Come shake my hand. What's up, man? I know. How are you? What's up? Come on now. God bless you. Amen. The Bible says, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. God has cleansed all you of your sin. And he has a plan for your life. We want to help that plan come true. He's waiting all your life for this. Just for you to say, I'm sorry. And now he's going to do his thing. And it's going to be good. It's going to be good. We're going to pray for you. Which way am I standing? This way? We're going to pray for you, then we're going to send you this way. Father God, we're going to give you a book. A couple things. Next week, we're going to be at Convention Center. Number two, this week, share your faith with somebody. Share your faith with somebody. Here's what's going to happen. God is going to hook you up with a divine appointment. What does that mean? Someone's going to be right in front of you, ripe and ready, and you're going to go, I got to go. And the devil's going to go, boo. Some of y'all are going to go, get out my face, and you're going to tell him. Some of y'all are going to run. Don't run. It's going to happen. Cable man's going to come to your house. Something's going to happen. Some of that work is going to be crying. God wants to use you. You're going to be blessed. Nobody is exempt from the responsibility of sharing the gospel. This is not a rock thing. It's a Bible thing. God has given all of us the ministry of reconciliation. Preach the gospel to all creatures. It's all of us. Just ask questions. How are you doing? You go to church. Can I invite you to my church? This is what happened to me. That's how I was blind. Now I see. Very simple. Very simple. Ready? Amen? Let's pray for these people. Lord, we thank you so much for these people and what you've done in their life, what you're going to do. Lord, I thank you that I was blind. I met you. You spit in my eye. Now I see. Lord, I pray you open up the eyes of our hearts that we may see how much you love us, that we may see the amazing plan that you have for our life, the plan through which your works are going to be, you are going to be glorified through your works in our life. We thank you for that. We pray you bless these people 100-fold. Use us this week. May people be saved all over San Diego outside these walls. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give them a hand clap. Let's walk right that way.